face with younger me. All of the mistakes, all of the heartbreak, here's what I'd do differently.
Happy Father's Day to all the men out there. What is on your wish list? What are you really hoping to get? Is it some gift vouchers from Bunnings or a new motorbike? Hint, hint. But there are two things you can't buy and the two things you won't get. I can assure you of that this Father's Day. But these two things are worth more than all the money, all the gift vouchers that you can afford to get. They're inner peace and victory over our enemies, over the temptations of the world. Both require constant effort and vigilance. We just don't get them. Linda said to me, I'm just so talking about Second Samuel, I'm so sick of the battles and the constant battle. Can we just skip a bit and get over it? But on contemplation about that, I thought, you know what, that's the message. The constant battle is the message that we're constantly in. And I don't think there will be any inner peace or any victory until this side of heaven. I think we'll be constantly battling that inner peace. And so I think the best we can actually hope for is periods of peace between the struggle. And I think the best we can hope for in this world in terms of the struggle and the temptations is that we have more victories than we have losses. So I hope that that's one of the things that's on your wish list as Father's Day. Today we're going to tackle 2 Samuel chapter 5 and we'll see these two things that in David's life. 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Then all the tribes of Israel went to David at Hebron and told him, 'We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, when Saul was our king, you were the only one who really led the forces of Israel. And the Lord told you that you will be the shepherd of my people Israel, and you will be Israel's leader.'" And so there at Hebron, King David made a covenant before the Lord and all the elders of Israel, and they anointed him king over all of Israel. And David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in total. And he reigned over Judah and Hebron for 7 years and 6 months, and from Jerusalem he reigned over all of Israel for 33 years. David's life was a constant battle right up to the time he was made king. He was constantly at war. And I guess it would have been a huge relief for him to be finally united. Like, imagine all of the tribes, they're fighting against one another, they're looking for land and trying to negotiate that. And finally, all of Israel come together under one head. And I just think that's a great picture of what unity could look like within us. You know, the kingdom of God is at work in us and it's trying to unite us so that we have peace. And I just think it's a great picture that it's possible to have periods of peace, because we know that as this goes on, that unity doesn't last long. Once David's gone, Israel starts to have a war within itself again. And so I think it's possible to have periods of peace, and we should strive towards that. I think those periods of peace are only made possible by God actually doing the work in our lives. Sometimes we think we can physically fight this inner struggle, and I don't see that in David's story. I remember in chapter 3 when David said, "These men are just too strong for me," so he handed them over to God. Example 1 and 2 is David never once tried to take out Saul. He never once tried to assassinate him. He warned him, even his son, Ishbosheth. David didn't try to kill. He left those inner struggles up to God. And I think there's a really important lesson for us there in terms of our inner struggle and the victory over our inner demons. I really invite God into that space and ask God to do a work in our lives. First thing that he did in terms of once they're all united is that he went to war again. In verse 6 it says, "David led his men to Jerusalem to fight against the Jebusites, the original inhabitants of the land who were living there. And David didn't rest on his laurels. I think if I was, having these constant fights all the way up to being made king, you'd want to relax, you'd want to enjoy being king and enjoy the pleasures of being a king. But David didn't. He at once took to war and decided to destroy the enemies that were surrounding him, the external enemies rather than the internal. And I think there's a lesson in that for us as well, that there are, our battle is not against the internal things as much as it is the pleasures of the world. And that they're the things that we can actually take up the sword and actually physically fight in order to win victory and have moments of peace in our life, even against the external struggles. So Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews encourages us in chapter 12. It says there in verse 1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let's strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily entangles and trips us up, and let's run with endurance the race that God set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and who perfects our faith." Fix my eyes on you. Oh, 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 on you. I learned the lines and talked that song. Everybody knows it, everybody knows it. The road less traveled is hard to walk. Everybody knows it, everybody knows it. It takes a soldier. In the Pilgrim's Progress, the dangerous journey, what we're up to is chapter 6, and it's called Vanity Fair. And it says, "There I saw in a dream that Christian and Faithful descended into a town called Vanity, and they could hear the sounds of the fair, which is held all year round, and it's called Vanity Fair." This village they go about to go into, it's got a constant fair going on, and I think there's a theme running in through here. It says, "Most fairs are merry places, but not this one, not for our travellers, for one of them here was destined to die. It says that indeed there are stalls here for every foolish trifle. Every part of the world is up for sale, knick-knacks of gold and silver and baubles and brick-brack and precious stones. In addition, you can buy titles and honours and preferments to high office, and vain pleasures and empty delights of every kind." So Christian and his companion Faithful, they're walking through this fair and they're trying to get through unnoticed. But the crowd notice them and they start to jeer them for their outlandish clothes, and they jeer at them for their foreign accents. And finally they ask them angrily, "Why aren't you buying our merchandise? Buy, buy, buy." Christian says, "We only buy one truth." And they put their fingers in their ears and they sought to turn away from the eyes beholding the vanity. But what happens is that these men take a Faithful captive and they actually end up burning him at the stake. Christian, though, he meets a guy called Hope, and Hope gets him out the back door and he smuggles him away, and he's saved from the town of Vanity. But isn't it true, isn't it, this world that we have, the temptations are constant and we don't get rest from them. I think the best we can hope for is small victories over these temptations, so we have more wins than we do losses, and so we live in a constant battle, but it's something that we can actually strive toward and find joy in as we win battles. This takes us to the spiritual disciplines for the week, and as I was thinking through them, I couldn't go past self-denial. Self-denial is really about saying no to the world and yes to God. Denying self is the third of the eight practices that we talked about in our Go Deeper series. And so it's good to be reminded of that, isn't it? To constantly, these are the practices that we're trying to develop into our everyday life. And so denying self, or self-discipline, is about saying no to the pleasures of the world. And denying self strengthens your willpower. And think about that, it's willpower. In order to get stronger in this area, it needs to be exercised, it needs to be strengthened, and it's the only way we have these victories. Denying self also helps us to focus on God when we're actually struggling with that battle. It helps us to be more dependent and reliant on God, and it allows God's kingdom to take hold in our life and expand its territory in our life as we give more and more over to God. In verse 10, David became more and more powerful as he had victories over these enemies. It says he became more and more powerful, and I think that's true of us. It's possible for us to have more and more victories, if you like, over time as we continue to fight and strive for ground and expanding our territory. But it's an ongoing battle. It's striving for unity within self. It's fighting the temptation, constant battle of temptation in the world, in order to gain more and more ground. So I hope you enjoy the socks that you've been given. The idea was just to run this race with perseverance. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't take your eyes off him. And these inner struggles will become, you'll have victory over them. You'll have periods of peace. And I'm sure that we'll begin to get a handle on the temptations of the world as we focus our eyes not on the things of the world, but on Jesus, and he leads us through. So let me pray for you today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a light to our path. We thank you that it warns us of these things of the world and the temptations that seek to take us off the path. We thank you that we have you, your Spirit at work in us, that we can have these inner victories, that you are working in us for our own peace, for joy, to experience your love. And Lord, I pray that as a gift for men in our church this week, that they'll really experience that inner peace, that you'll give them that sense of unity within themselves, and that you'll give them victory over the temptations of the world, and they might experience some peace in that as well. So Lord, we thank you that for the men and the examples they are to our whole church family, the way they lead and the way they guide, their strength and their example and their love. I ask that you'll bless each one. In Jesus' name, amen. And love like I'm not scared. Give when it's not. Fix.